Hello, everybody, and guess who our co-host is today? Mr. Rick Bass.
None other.
There he is. You probably got about 90% of the co-hosting. Sophia's got Sophia just picked up another job has a it is a job, and it's not a job. She's basically editing and proofreading this lady who's writing a novel.
Basically. Okay.
So she loves reading. She reads a ton. So now she has that going for her. I'm like, where do you find the time?
You did something right, Tony, because you can't. Ooh. You know, work ethic is
a
hard taught thing these days.
Yeah, it is.
You guys did something right.
I thank you, and I have to humbly agree because it's true. It's very true. I mean, I'm very proud of her when we see her, but I just don't know where she fits it all in. My goodness, I don't know how she does it.
I know.
And again, she's not, going to be 57. So
true.
It's different for her.
Yeah. I do have something to share. We had a misfortune happen this week.
Oh no.
My Rambo glass fell and broke. Deb's doing a GoFundMe page to take off a collection. I'm only kidding. But the Rambo glass did fall and break.
Did it really?
I saved the bullet. But
there you go. Well, you got the bullet. There you go.
No, there's no GoFundMe page.
It's okay.
Yeah. You know, but I did look and they're on back order. I'm like, oh man.
Oh, are they? You know, it's so funny. Every time I go on that darn page, everything they have is out of stock. And I shouldn't say everything. That's not fair. But a lot of their stuff is out of stock or out of the size and on back order, which I mean, that's a good problem to have. I'm not complaining it's, horrible or anything. It's a good problem to have, but it goes to show you on how many people are out there ordering the same things.
And, think
you're the only one who wants a gazillion dollars worth of Rocky merchandise or whatever, Rambo, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't. I was very happy with my glass. I loved my glass, and I gave it a proper send off.
Good. I know. I want to get I think. Did you have the coffee mug? The statue coffee mug.
No, I don't have that one.
Okay, no. I thought you had. I have that a for couple reason, of. I want to get that.
I have a couple of other ones that are kind of neat. They're not from the Sly Stallone shop, but they've got like the Rocky action figure kind of glued to the cup. And then to a coffee mug and another one that's like glued to the shot glass. They're pretty neat.
Okay. I don't know about you, but I kind of feel weird when I buy anything outside the shop now. I feel like I'm cheating on Sly. Like, maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I shouldn't buy that shirt. It's not official.
I get it. But you know what? The dollar only stretches so far.
Agreed. There's some things on there that I would love to have, and there's just some of them, like the belt, the heavyweight belt. I would love to have a heavyweight belt. I mean, it's just, I think it's $350, $320. Yeah. I don't know. It's up there. But I mean, whatever. It's good stuff. I'm glad the shop
is. Yeah. You know, like the Rocky III robe. The yellow one. I don't have that. And I can't, I don't want to say a knockoff, but you know, the ones I have are, but it's a lot of, it's a lot of Scooby snacks for
agreed.
Not that it's not worth it, because it's very worth it, but
absolutely. I would love to have you got your mannequins in the back there displaying the jacket and the sweaters and stuff, and it's good stuff. I love it. It's they have a lot of, and you know what I like too, they have stuff from all of them. They obviously have stuff from the original. They have Rocky II stuff, Rocky III, and Rocky IV. I guess you could consider the necklace as a Rocky V, technically.
Right.
But I believe that's all they have from Rocky V is that necklace.
Yeah.
And then Balboa, of course, they got the Dempsey shirt. They got a little bit of everything from the Rocky series. And now from Rambo, they have some good stuff too. But
sure.
Cobra. What's that?
There's some Cobra.
They touch base on quite a few of his his films. I mean, they have Cobra. They got Fist shirts, which I love that movie. They have Lords of Flatbush. They had Stayin' Alive. You know, I didn't notice. Did they have any Paradise Alley stuff?
You know, I don't recall.
I don't think so either.
I don't
think so.
But didn't he direct? Did he direct that?
Yeah, that was his. That was his first. That was right after Rocky. It was 78, and that was before Rocky II.
Okay.
That I'm sure everybody knows now that the truck going by in Rocky II has the Paradise Alley movie poster on it, or the bus. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry, driving by the scene in the beginning when they're following the ambulance.
Okay.
And but yeah, he directed that, and he directed where's the big guy? Here he comes. Look at him. Only director with arms like that. That's for sure.
Yeah. And a black eye.
Right? And a black eye. Exactly. But yeah, he directed Paradise Alley. And then, of course, he did 2, 3, 4 and Balboa. Yeah. He's done a lot. He did a lot of work as a director and of course, writing as well. You know, he's the trilogy there that Hollywood loves to have. But a lot of actors go on to do those things. Sure. I think it's once you get in the business, you kind of get a feel for it and what you could do,
right,
and what you can't do.
I think a lot of actors, they, you know, whether it's because they want to do it their own way, or mm-hmm. you know, they're not happy with the way it's being done, or sure. whatever the case may be, you know, they have their own vision, so they want to try mm-hmm. and put their spin, their hand at it, and you know, you give them props. You know, I mean, that's a big gig when you're.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes with, you know, what, like you said, it comes with time where they got 2, 3, 6 films under their belt, and they have a little mix mash of from the directors they worked with. This mm-hmm. guy did this great. This guy did that great. I wouldn't do this again. I wouldn't do that again. And then they kind of develop into their own director. But there's a lot of big name actors. A lot that there have are. Gone into directing sure. and have been successful. I mean, everybody can go and just, it's not fair. It is easier to go and just direct a film, you know, one time because you're a name.
Yep.
But to let an actor do it 2, 3, 4 times, obviously they're half back that.
Yeah.
If they, so
right.
to and, do that, they had to do decent and work. Some of them went and won the Super Bowl. They won the gold, you know, the golden trophy. So, but some just directed a bunch of films. Good stuff.
Well, and then you have the triple threat, you know, our guy, he's the triple threat.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, cause I mean, there is a handful out there that did some writing and the acting as well, but very few could you name that starred in their film, wrote their film. And directed their film. Yeah, that's a short list.
Right.
And not only that, I mean, the you know, Rocky, well, I'm sorry, you didn't do Rocky, I apologize. Rocky 2, 3, 4, and Balboa, who could say they created a character, created a saga. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In writing it. Not even just writing it at a, you know, I mean, Ben Affleck wrote.
Was that Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, Good Will Hunting.
Him and Matt Damon.
Great film. I mean, he didn't direct that, but great film. He did go on to direct as well. He did, Argo, I think it is.
Oh, Argo, yes.
Argo.
Yes.
And but, I mean, he didn't create this generational movie saga. I don't know how many people, or if anybody would ever be able to say that again.
Few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
Few and far.
But, yeah, you could name, gosh, there's so many directors that or actors that did directing and did a good job.
Yeah,
Eastwood, you know, we have one here of Clint where he's behind the camera. Now, Clint's done a lot more behind the camera since he's gotten older.
Sure.
But he, you know, again, he took home the coveted statue for best director and best picture. And he did it twice. He did it with The Unforgiven and Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, I love Million Dollar Baby, and
that's a great film, isn't it?
I don't know if he directed Mule or Gran Torino, but boy, those are some pretty powerful movies.
I don't know either. Those are awesome films. I shouldn't say films. I apologize because I did not see Mule. I did see Gran Torino though. Yeah. But yeah, that is. I'm gonna have to check that out while we're still talking. See if he did.
Yeah, but, Gran Torino and Mule is just. It kind of takes you by surprise, you know.
Actually, he did direct The Mule. He's 90 years old, directed Mule and starred in it.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
That's amazing.
I'm hoping I'm walking at like 70.
I'm hoping I'm walking Monday. and he did direct and star in Gran Torino.
Wow. No kidding.
Wow. That's, that's something else. I mean, a lot of guys that went into directing kind of never really went back to the acting. Like Ron Howard. Ron Howard, yep. After his Happy Days career, he went into directing. He did a ton of great films, Cocoon and Splash and Backdraft. And I mean, I could go on and on. But he never really went back to acting. Matter of fact, I don't think I've seen him in anything in decades.
No, I agree.
You have, my goodness, Rob Reiner, who has directed a lot of great films, Stand By Me and When Harry Met Sally and Few Good Men. But he did a few little character roles, little
Meathead
here and there and stuff. Yeah. But he still put out a great product.
Yeah.
Great product.
I think other than being a director, I think he's pretty well known as from All in the Family.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was definitely his claim to fame as far as getting on the map in Hollywood. Sure. I don't recall what his first one was directing.
I don't know, but
I do know, like, when Stand By Me came around, that was a big deal.
Oh yeah, it was a great movie.
That really went big for him. Yeah,
absolutely.
And then you have some other. Look at Mel Gibson with
Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Yeah. Did he do The Patriot as well?
Again, I'm not sure. We'll have to check on that while we're looking at Mel's Baby Blues and the golden statues there.
I think I told you about a movie that I watched a couple weeks ago with Mel Gibson. He's older. He's got a few newer ones out, but it's called On the Line.
Oh yeah, you texted me that the other day. I haven't seen it yet, but I do plan on it. He did not direct The Patriot, just to throw that in there real quick.
Oh, okay.
He did not.
On the Line is
Roland Emmerich.
Oh, okay. Well, On the Line, if there's a, let's just say it's a Rick's pick, it's a good movie. And I'm trying to remember, there was a movie with Michael Douglas years ago, and it had a very big surprise ending. Okay. I'll leave it at that. You'll be like, what?
I might have to check it out tonight because we kind of ran out of some shows to watch. We were binging on some things on Netflix and whatnot. And we kind of caught up with everything. We ran out of shows. So
I know.
I have to check out some things.
What we're doing right now is because we pick an actor or actress, you know, Kevin James, mm-hmm. you know, Adam Sandler, whomever, you know, anybody, and we're like, let's just watch their movies, you
right?
know? And then we'll go to the next one, you know. Like I said, up here in New York, other than today was nice. We had sun, but
we I'm not going to comment on that because obviously we always have sun, so it's different down here. We do stay inside though sometimes just to check out, you know, we have some movie binging days.
Sure.
If you don't feel like going anywhere.
Sure.
Yeah. These Absolutely. Guys that we kind of, I don't want to say grew up watching, but have had their careers now for decades. You know, Kevin Costner's still kicking strong in Yellowstone. Sly's still kicking strong in Tulsa King. Yep. But I mean, like, we have one here of Kevin directing in his Dances with Wolves.
Great movie.
Took tire there. And then, of course, here he is taking home the director and picture Oscars.
Okay.
And great movie, but I'm sorry. I always have to give the little asterisk. It should have never beat Goodfellas for Best Picture.
Yeah, Goodfellas.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Goodfellas.
My opinion, but Goodfellas, Dances with Wolves. What's going to stand the test of time? Anyway, I'm not taking anything away from you, Kevin. It's a great film.
No. Great film. I mean, Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, and
De Niro.
De Niro.
Bobby.
So those three. That movie just is wow.
Yeah, I mean, if you gave each of them 12 pages of the phone book to read, I'd probably watch it. You know, I would just sit down and go for it, guys. I don't care what you're saying right now.
Especially Pesci. Holy cow. He kills me.
And it's so, you know, and they've worked with Scorsese for so long that, you know, and actually speaking of actor directors, De Niro went and did some directing himself, and I'm sure he got a lot of little tidbits from Martin Scorsese sure. to do Bronx Tale.
Didn't he do Bronx Tale? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you know the story, a funny story about Bronx Tale. I'm sure plenty do, but figured it's a good point to put in. He went, Bronx Tale used to be a one-man show an off-Broadway by Chaz Palminteri, who everybody knows Bronx Tale knows he played Sonny. And Chaz Palminteri played Sonny in the movie.
Okay.
He wrote it, and it was a one-man show. He played everybody. He played he played De Niro's role. He played his role. He played Frankie Coffee Cake. He played everybody.
Wow.
And De Niro heard about the show and wanted to go see it. So he went to see it and loved it. After the show, he asked to meet Chaz backstage.
Okay.
So he goes back there, told him how great show it is. He goes, I'm really trying to find a project to direct. I would love to direct this as a film. Would you be able to put a screenplay together? And he's like, of course, De Niro's asking to do this. Who's going to say no?
Yeah, right.
And Chaz was like, I think you'd be fantastic. You're perfect for Sonny. He goes, oh, no. You're Sonny. He goes, I'll play the kid's dad, but you're Sonny.
Okay.
And there we go. Then, of course, the film comes out. And
yeah, that's incredible.
De Niro not playing the mobster for once.
Right.
One of the best lines in that movie I'll never forget is when the little boy talks about how great Sonny is. Sonny's right. The working man's a sucker. And he takes the kid. He's like, no, the working man, that's a tough guy. That's a tough guy right there. Get up and go to a job every day you don't want to go to. Support your family. That's the tough guy.
Right.
And it just blew me away. And those words, it just blew me away. Great film. Great. Now you're going to go watch it now.
Yeah, right.
That's what happens. You wind up talking about these movies and I get all janked up about I want to go watch them.
I know. But, we watched Balboa the other night. I mean, probably for the 3 millionth time.
Oh, I don't even bother counting anymore.
I never get enough. I mean, we were talking about this like last week. It's like when you get in the mood to see a Rocky movie, there's no rhyme or reason where or which one you're going to pick. But a lot of times I always go to Balboa.
And I do believe, and I know that we've said this before, and you have said it before, I do think that has to do with our age. I think if we were younger now, we were in our 30s now, I think Balboa wouldn't resonate as strongly. Having had such, over 50 years of life and struggles and, of course, the speech to relate to.
Right.
I think, that's just my opinion. I don't know.
No, I mean,
maybe we would say, of course we would love it, but I think it wouldn't as resonate with us as strongly. When Balboa came out, it was 06. So I was 40 and, it was a lot of stuff had gone on in my life. I mean, so sure. I really, when he gave that speech and I saw he was, hitting a heavy bag, he's trying to train, he's older, it's a little harder and stuff. And, mm-hmm. It definitely stuck and hit more at home than say Rocky III did when I was 16.
Sure. The message is a lot of reason. It's just the messages in his movies. And I know I'm going way off track, but
that's okay. It's what this show is about, my friend. I told you
It's, we all talk about what is the draw other than Sly, other than Rocky, but it's just these messages that are portrayed or given in his movies on all of them, that you can take this from here and this from there and you can put it into your life and you can be this is going to work. It's going to be
But that's, I think, any really good film that stands the test of time. There's so many movies that we watched in the 70s and 80s, and I'll even throw 90s in there for some of them, that are still around. Or that I show my daughters who are teenagers, well, teenager and 20, and they like them. So it's not an age thing. And like you said, they're saying, Forrest Gump or Top Gun or Back to the Future. And yeah, you look at these as fun adventure films, but still, if you dig into some of those plots and some of those scripts, it has a lot of meat to say how to handle life or how to deal with adversity or, it's not about playing volleyball on the beach and, singing You Lost That Love and Feeling. It's about losing your partner in a plane crash and trying to move on with life and trying to keep going.
And that's what, that's why you'll go back and you'll watch that movie 3 million times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Oh yeah.
Cause the message never gets old and never gets stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gotta tell you, when I was a kid and I first saw, you know, Jaws, I was afraid to go in the swimming pool.
Brother, people laugh at me, think I'm saying it to be funny because I'm always cracking jokes. No lie. There's zero. This is 100% true. I don't go in the ocean. I live in Florida. I don't go in the Gulf.
Really?
I have not since 1975.
No kidding.
It scared the daylights out of me. Very short story. I'm sorry to digress. Steven Spielberg was having lunch at the Hard Rock Cafe when I used to work at Hard Rock way back when I was my bartending days. I wanted to go meet him and tell him, thank you for making me afraid of the water for the last 40 years or whatever it was. But I couldn't get in there to tell him. They had it all blocked off. I couldn't get in.
Sure.
I'm dead serious though. I don't, you ask my kids, I go in up to my ankles, not even knees, not waist, ankles.
I hear you. I'm
maybe I was too young to see it because when that came out, I was 9. I really wasn't supposed to see it. My friend and I snuck in the theater, you know,
sure.
And we were kids. I was 9 years old. I don't even know what we said we were going to see. We said we were going to see something and we went into Jaws. Yeah. And it scared the day. You know, the movie didn't scare me as much the idea of being out there with sharks. And when I found that out afterwards was when I went to the beach after mm-hmm. that movie. The second I started treading water, I was like, no way. And I backed up. And I just backed up. I wanted to get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
I've been like that since.
I completely sympathize with you. It's a very daunting feeling to know that.
And the great thing he did with that film, again, like you said, we go all over the board with this show. So I'm sorry, everybody who's watching. I know we said we were talking about directors, which we have, but we're still talking about a director.
We'll get
he
there.
Wasn't an
we'll
actor.
Stay with but us.
The great part about that film was the unfortunate thing of the shark not working worked for Spielberg. Because the shark didn't work a lot during the filming of the movie.
Yeah.
It kept breaking. So they couldn't use it. So he kept doing thin scenes or not seeing it at all, just seeing the water move. And it was almost like Hitchcock where you didn't see anything yet until you needed to. And then when you did, you were like, holy crap.
Yeah.
So it worked out. It worked out in his favor. But yeah, I mean, you didn't see that shark till almost the end.
Right. Yeah. It's just one of those that just sticks with you. Just, you know, it'll always
that's another film I could put on any time of day. Anytime. Yeah. I could put that on any day. It doesn't matter. I could watch it like I saw it again for the first time. It has good little wisecracks, Quint's little smart mouth, you know, and Hooper thinking he's, you know, a little genius and Quint's making fun of him. I mean, it's such a Brody being afraid of the water.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Oh, you're telling me that thing went by. How great is that scene when he first goes by and you see him?
Oh, man. And I love that scene.
That's a 20 footer, and Quint goes 25, 3 tons. You're like, what? What?
Crazy.
Did a submarine just go by? What happened?
I know. That's craziness. It's, yeah. I always love that phrase, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, you're going to need a bigger boat. I mean, he's right. I mean, how could you go against something that's bigger than you already?
I know.
How great was it? He's like, we're going to go back, right? We're going to go back. We're going to go home. He's like, Brody just wanted to get the heck out of there. What a great film. And of course, unfortunately, their sequels were not like Rocky sequels.
No, they were not.
Very successful and very good. They were horrible.
Yeah.
And that's why Steven Spielberg had nothing to do with them. He didn't like the scripts and. Yeah. They said they were going to make them anyway. So, I mean, because Spielberg didn't write it. It was a novel before a movie. Peter Benchley wrote the novel. Right. So it wasn't like Spielberg could put a stop to it. But Spielberg said, well, I'm not going to direct it then. I'm out. But that's it.
You can tell the difference.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, those are my two favorite directors of all time, Spielberg and Scorsese. You almost throw a dart at a movie that they've done. And,
sure.
You know. How bad could it be? Even if you don't care for it, how bad could it be?
Right. Absolutely.
Amazing stuff. But you know, some of them don't, I mean, obviously they don't care about being in front of the camera. They, I don't think Spielberg's ever been in his movies. I don't think Scorsese's ever been in his movies.
No, not even like a cameo or nothing like
that. Yeah, I don't think so. Tarantino does that all the time. He did, because Hitchcock did that.
Right.
Hitchcock did every movie he was in. He had one little background or whatever.
Sure.
In every movie he did. And sure. Tarantino does that. Sometimes, obviously, his roles are bigger than others. But that's it. That's another act. That's another director that's got some interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Tarantino.
Oh, definitely. Reservoir Dogs?
Oh, that was his first.
That was
his first.
That was a brutal movie.
Hey, oh, God. And that was a little bit of a surprise ending, too, like you're talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to give it away for anybody, but it is a very old film, guys. So it's
– Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was his first director movie.
No kidding.
Yeah. He wrote that and directed it. And, the first movie he wrote – was you know the movie called True Romance?
Yes. With
Christian Slater?
Yes.
Yeah, he wrote that, but they didn't let him direct it because he was an unknown. They said they'll buy the script from him, but he's not directing it.
Okay.
And Tony Scott directed that. He did Top Gun.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
So he didn't get to direct it, but he took that money and parlayed it over into doing Reservoir Dogs.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty. There's some pretty brutal graphic stuff in that.
Oh my gosh, very graphic stuff. And then, of course, after Reservoir Dogs, was Pulp Fiction.
Okay,
and that was his big claim. That's what really put him on the map then.
Right. And then Kill Bill too, right? Didn't he do Kill Bill?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I didn't see the second one because isn't it? There's two of them, right? Or is there three?
I'm not positive. I'm not.
I know there's two. I don't know if there's a third or not, but yeah, he did those. That one I didn't really care for all that much. You like that one?
You know what? I'm gonna. I've never seen them. I know of them. I've never seen them.
You didn't see any of them? Okay, yeah. There is no three. I just checked that out real quick.
Yeah,
there's a volume one and two. Volume one I saw, but I didn't really care for it. I didn't, and so I didn't watch volume two.
Okay. Yeah, I never saw them, and. And I'm ashamed to say there's another very, very big movie series that I've never watched.
Oh.
And I'm drawing a blank on it right now, so I probably shouldn't have brought it up. But the mob movie.
Godfather.
The Godfather. I've never seen any of it.
I know you told me that. And it is kind of blasphemous. We'll have to talk about that.
Send me to my room.
Go in there for 7 hours and then come back.
And don't come out until you've watched them all.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, somebody who loves movies so much, that one does shock me.
I don't know. I mean, I love Goodfellas. I
was going to say, do you like those types? I mean, because if you don't like those types of movies, it makes sense not to see it.
I absolutely love Goodfellas. I don't know why I've never,
just never have.
Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, cause I'm like borderline on Westerns. Like I'll watch, like I like Tombstone. I like Unforgiven. Even some of the older Westerns, like, oh my goodness, Rio Bravo with Dean Martin, and then of, what was the one with John Wayne? He had the patch on his eye.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That was a good True Grit. True Grit,
yeah. They did a remake.
But I'm not a Western. Too. I'm not like, oh, I got to see it. It's a Western. Right. I got to see it. I love Westerns. I like them, but it's just I don't really care about the genre. So there are some films that I haven't seen in the Western genre that some people would be like, really? You haven't seen that? Like, how could you not see that?
Yeah, but, I don't know. We kind of circle around, and like I said, now we've gotten to the point where we're just – we pick an actor or actress and like, let's watch theirs, but summer's coming. Yeah. So that'll come to an end soon.
Too funny. What other directors you got that were actors at one point?
Let's see.
And then we don't have any more pictures. We'll have to just talk about them.
Let's see. Well,
we mentioned De Niro. I don't have his, but we mentioned
John Krasinski.
De Niro.
You know, John Krasinski.
Yeah. It's the office kid, right?
Right. A Quiet Place. Have you seen those two?
I haven't. My girls did. I haven't seen them.
Yeah, those are good. You should watch those. They'll keep you right on the edge.
There's two of them?
There's two of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Very well made. I'm not you and I have touched on this before. I'm not a big scary.
Yeah, I know.
I don't, but it was done very well.
Done well? Okay, and, you know, cool.
I've watched it a couple of times. So if I watch a movie a couple of times, yeah. I know that, you know, you like it, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So there's that one. And then Bradley Cooper, A Star Is Born.
Yeah, you had said that before we started the show, and I did not know he directed at all.
Yes.
So that was something I found out.
I think that was directorial debut. And you know what? Now, I'm not going to say a triple threat, but the man sang in the movie. He did his own singing, I believe. And the guy sing. The guy can sing.
I know he did. I know he did his thing because my wife saw it and loved it. And she did tell me about it. That I gotta check that out. I didn't care to see it either way. It's not like I was against seeing it, but I wasn't like, ooh, I want to see it. But I really should check it out. I have heard good things about the film.
You know, I've never seen the older ones like Barbara Streisand. There was a couple of remakes of A Star Is Born.
Yeah, because I saw the Barbara Streisand one. That's with Chris Christopherson. I didn't see the one before that, which I think was Judy Garland.
I think you're right. Yeah,
that's going way back.
And this one, so I can't even speak to the fact whether it's loosely based on the same type of a script or not. But very well done, great soundtrack, an amazing soundtrack to the movie, and Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, boy, they can sing.
Yeah, I know. I saw him sing because I saw him sing at some show when she was doing it. He did a good job. Yeah, I like him. He's got some talent. I don't know if he writes or not, but he can act very well. He was in that other one with Robert De Niro. Playbooks. Silver Playbook or something.
Oh, Silver Linings Playbook.
Playbook. Yeah.
Yeah,
he was in that, and of course his Hangover movies are pretty funny. And
right,
but yeah, I like him. He's good.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of movies under his belt. You know, one with Sandra Bullock. What about Steve? Which is a fun comedy.
Comedy. You know, that's the thing about him. Yeah, he could do. You could see him in the because didn't he do a? What was the one about the military sniper, American Sniper?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he played that. He got bulked up. He got all huge for that.
Yeah.
Dramatic role, obviously. Dramatic role for A Star Is Born, I'm assuming dramatic. And then, of course, he has his comedy chops. You got The Hangover and whatever else he's doing. Yeah, he can do a little bit of everything. I like
him. Yeah, he's a good actor. I like him a lot. Let's see. Well, you know, we talked about the Mount Rushmore before with Tom Hanks, you know. That one there, you can throw a dart in any direction, up, down, left, right.
Any.
You know.
I don't think – I mean, I'm sure there's some movies of his that I don't care for, but that list is probably smaller than one.
Yeah. Know? We watched last night, because we're on the Tom Hanks kick right now, we watched Volunteers with John Candy.
Oh, my God. That's going back.
His wife now, you know, Rita Wilson. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just good movies, you know.
The only one I know he directed, and I'd have to look up to see what else he did, was that musical that was about a fake band, That Thing You Do.
Yes.
About the 60s band that was kind of like the Beatles, you know.
And, right. That was a good
movie. But I don't know of any trying to look
real quick. The Wonders, right?
What's that?
Wasn't it the band was called The Wonders?
The Wonders with O-N-E.
Yeah, they're like,
they wanted to be like the
owners.
Beatles.
The owners. Who's the owners?
Oh, that's funny. He did That Thing You Do, and he did a movie called Larry Crown.
Oh, that was with Julia Roberts.
Okay, I didn't see that one.
That is a good movie. Have you seen A Man Called Otto yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, yes. Gotta watch.
He plays like a grumpy old guy, right?
Yeah, gotta watch. Like yeah, we watched that again.
Check it out.
It's really good. Really good. The man does. He just doesn't disappoint. I think, you know, like Philadelphia will be coming up pretty soon. Next on the list for to watch. You know,
I mean, that's,
he's got
that's,
so you know, many. You know,
he really does. He like you could sit here and you could just name films, And there's very, I mean, the actors we even just talked about that went into directing, they still act, most of them, not so much Eastwood. But Mel Gibson, his resume.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Costner, his resume. I mean, Eastwood, obviously, he goes way back to the spaghetti westerns all the way up to now. I mean, he's 90-something or whatever old he is.
He's still doing it.
He's had a hit probably every year he's been an actor.
Yeah.
I mean, well, they had that article about Stallone that was – he's the past 60 years, he's had a number one film in every decade. He was the only actor to do that.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Every decade, number one movie.
Sly, if you're watching.
I mean, these guys, they're just – and you know what makes me laugh? I know I sound like the typical old guy bashing the younger generation, but I just don't see this kind of stuff happening again. I don't see 30 years from now certain movies still being talked about that are made now.
Right.
I don't mean that are – like – I do believe 30 years from now, Rocky is still going to be being watched and talked about.
It'll be very relevant.
And so will Godfather and Jaws and Top Gun, all these, you know, generational films, so to speak. I don't see anything. And that's not to say that it won't happen. Of course it could. I don't see anything over the past, since 1999, I haven't seen anything that, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess.
I'd really
I'm trying to think.
Memory bank. Yeah.
I mean, you know, some of the things I'm thinking of might not be as old as I think, like Saving Private Ryan. Yeah, see, that was 1998. I thought it was 2000. I was going to say, well, Saving Private Ryan, but no, it was 98. Yeah. So it's before 2000.
But these, I don't know these generational actors, though, actors and directors, like we're talking about.
Right.
I mean, is there going to be anybody to fill their shoes in such an iconic way that they are now?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, and I'm sure they, like, back when, you know, the 30s, 40s, and 50s, they're talking about Frank Capra and Alfred Hitchcock, who, you know, is anybody going to be like these directors? Charlie Chaplin. And then you get Spielberg, and then you get Scorsese, you know, and then you get whoever else comes around. So maybe it will happen. I mean, it did, you know, we maybe something didn't happen yet that would be catapult to keep this generation going. But for these films, for us to be talking about them, and they're a minimum of 30 years old, 30, 40, 50 years old. I just think about how many movies we talked about in the 80s. If you go back 30 years in the 80s, that was the 50s. 40 years ago was 40s, and 50 years ago was the 30s. Now, granted, I know film only came out so long, so it wasn't around as much.
Right.
But, you know, King Kong, Wizard of Oz, Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
You know, It's a Wonderful Life. You have a bunch. Don't get me wrong. You got a lot of good films. Rear Window, Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
But how many times are we talking about them? What's that?
And how many times are they going to remake King Kong? You know, I mean, with the CGI and everything is always the, you know, the graphics are better, but.
And so funny. And back in the 30s, 1933, they did stop motion.
Right.
That's it. You know, it was click, 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 click. I mean, how long that took to make.
But there's something to be said about going back and watching that movie from the original.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's still, you know, it still grabs you. I mean, take nothing away from the latest King Kong or, you know, versus Godzilla or whatever, but
no, agreed.
It's just the feel of it. You know, it's just, I don't want to say nostalgia, but it's, I don't know.
And if you go back and watch it now, it's 90 years old.
That's crazy to think of.
It was made in 1933. It's 90 years old.
That's crazy to think of. That's nuts. That's nuts.
It does. That blows my mind. That's just like, how could that be?
Yeah.
1933. That's just insane. Jeez. But yeah, but like you said, I mean, it might be some. I mean, because my daughter's got an old soul. She likes all the old. You know, my younger one likes, you know, Rita Hayworth and Elvis Presley and all these old 40s looking, 50s looking pictures and decor in her room. My older daughter that's in college likes all the older movies. She has a big list of what she wants to see: A Few Good Men and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, there's some chance out there that it might.
Isn't it funny though when you say they want to see some older movies? These are movies that you and I grew up with. When we think of older movies.
Well, they're old now, my friend.
Thank God. You know,
they're old now. I mean, I used to remember when I was younger, I'd say, let's watch It's a Wonderful Life. It's an old movie. And it was, because in the '80s, that movie was made in, you know, whatever, 30 something.
Yeah.
And 1939, I think, it was old.
Yeah.
But now we're old and we can watch the old movies. So.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's so funny. That's all right. Exactly. Says,
keep punching.
Keep moving forward. That's it. That's it.
That's all.
This is a good one. This is a good one. I enjoyed this one. Absolutely. As always, I don't even know why I say it anymore. I enjoy all the shows.
Is our time up already? Oh my God.
About 41 minutes. You know, we don't want them to shut us off. See, we want to shut off so they want more.
Oh, right, okay. Guys, I get it. Yeah, right.
You're probably like, nah, right. I shut you off 20 minutes ago. I really don't care. I
know. Tired of looking at Rick.
Oh, let's go through the usuals. Where can we see? We got Rick stuff here. I have the hat on today, the street sign, this coaster. I got to get a picture of the shirt you make. You got so many shirts you made me. I got a ton of them. And the stickers. I got to wait to buy my new truck.
I meant to ask you about that. Yeah.
I'm waiting to put him on my new. I love him. Thank you so much. He made me a Italian Stallion sticker, but without the words Italian Stallion, just the Stallion, and then the Rocky statue silhouette. I'm going to put them on my new truck. I'm getting a new truck probably about 6 months, so I'm going to put him on that. It'll be nice. But anyway, so you can find Rick over at RockoBob30 Instagram, and we'll make you what you want.
That's right. They're very highly reflective, so you'll be seen from all angles.
Yeah. Oh, the stickers are?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's good.
They ain't going to miss you. They're not going to miss you.
That's good. Hey. That's awesome. No, I hope people hit you up for stuff, you know, with us. I mean, I know you've said I see people post things here and there. That they got a shirt from you, this or whatever. And it doesn't even have to be Round 14 stuff. It could be Rocky File stuff or Rocky stuff in general, whatever he could put together, you know, without breaking any copyright laws.
Right.
Put something out there.
I try to be very careful with that.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and again, I'm not going to like make my living. I enjoy doing it. If I could do it for free and there was no cost, I'd do it for free.
I just enjoy doing it,
but
sure.
You know, just to recoup some of my overhead. That's all. But I love doing it. So, you know, share the Rocky word.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. We'll see you next week. You're doing next week with me too. So
all right, buddy.
Fun time. All right. Sounds I'll talk good. To you soon. All right. Bye. Oh, Rick, I love having him on. He is the co-host. Sophia is the guest co-host, to be honest. She does few and far between, so he's the co-host. And I'm glad to have him. I'm lucky to have him. He does a great job. He has a lot of knowledge, and he has a lot of energy. So it's good to see that. But I appreciate you guys. Thank you, as always, and we'll see you next week.